Good morning. The scripture reading today is from the chapter of Luke, I'm sorry, the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of God for the people of God.
I just leaned over and said, "Nadim, I'm going to do something right before you start. Don't get worried." When we receive associate pastors, they're almost always in the midst of their training. And so today, Nadim preaches his first sermon as an associate pastor at Florissant Methodist Church. That's what you're about to hear. As someone who once did that in another church a long, long time ago, that's a very intimidating thing to stand up and share a sermon with a couple, several hundred people over the course of the morning. And so I want to pray for you as we begin. I want us to pray for Nadim. Would you do that with me? Let's bow our heads. Lord God, we pray for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit on this, your servant Nadim. He offers to us great preparation and prayer and all that has gone into bringing this sermon today. And we know that your Spirit already guides him. We pray that you would be fully present with him, that you would give us listening and attentive ears, that we might learn from all that he brings. In Jesus' name, amen.
A few weeks back, I received this poster drawn by one of the children in our children's ministry. And in fact, many children drew different posters for our church staff. And this poster, this drawing, has been drawn by a kid, Ben. And if you see this drawing, and at the bottom of the drawing, there are a few sentences. And one of the sentences caught my attention. And it's a simple sentence, but says a lot. And the sentence is, "The importance of being kind and helpful, even when you are not asked to be." I repeat, the importance of being kind and helpful when you are not even asked to be. I can't even tell you how greatly I felt about this poster. It's just a simple poster a small kid can draw. And you know, it will not end up in a museum, but I felt so good that someone was thinking about me. And someone was at work even when I was not expecting it. I immediately wrote an email to our children's ministry director, Kelly, and asked her if she could thank Ben on my behalf and could tell him that how appreciative I felt, and I liked his drawing very much. So why I shared this story, I will hold on to that for a while. There are three leading characters in our today's story: a Jesus, a Pharisee, and a sinful woman. And we will see how these characters manifest through their actions: grace, repentance, forgiveness, humility, and judgment and rejection. And let me tell you briefly about these characters. The first character in the story is Jesus. Jesus is an itinerant preacher who is known as a teacher. He is a prophet to some and the Messiah to others in that community. He performs miracles and he heals the sick, and he even forgive people their sins. And where many people are against him because of his teaching, especially about his claim of having authority to forgive the sins, many people follow him. The second character in this story is a sinful woman. And a sinful Luke does not tell us much about this woman. And we don't know the nature of her sins. Though it is widely speculated that she was a prostitute, but we don't know for sure. But one thing, however, is clear, that she is notoriously sinful, a rejected one. Yet Jesus has interacted with her, and she has begun a new life, a life without the regret of past sins. And this is what we Methodists call prevenient grace. This is a good example of that. The grace that comes before. And Jesus wanted her to have a new life and freedom from sins, even when she was not looking for Jesus. And Jesus sought her, even when she didn't look for Jesus. Third character in our story is Simon the Pharisee, which is extremely opposite to the woman. And to understand the contrast between these two characters, it's important to know a little more about what it was to be a Pharisee in the first century Greco-Roman world. Word Pharisee means a separated one, the one who's been set apart. In general, primary focus of the life of a Pharisee was on rules and laws instead of people and God. And in fact, it was hard to be a Pharisee because of the level of commitment to live their lives according to Torah. And they were highly respected people in that society. This is a great story. We have heard this story so many times, and perhaps since our Sunday school time. What is so important about this story that we are learning this in our Sunday worship? And what does it mean for us in our lives after 2,000 years? Let me offer you a list of contrasts between the two characters, Pharisee and the woman, which will help us understand the importance of this story for us today. And the first is no hospitality versus radical hospitality. The story opens with a party scene, a party hosted by Simon, presumably a wealthy person who had invited Jesus to have dinner at his house. And from what follows in the narrative, it is clear that he does this not through his love of Jesus or he believed in him, but at best, out of his curiosity and perhaps for the purpose of spying upon him. And the values of hospitality culture would require the host, Simon, to offer a kiss of peace, water to wash feet, and some oil or some ointment to anoint the head to refresh the guest. But for one reason or the other, Simon does not do even one of these acts of hospitality to his guest of honor, which was very insulting in that culture. Some of you who have exposure to Eastern hospitality culture would understand the term I'm going to use to explain its nature, forceful hospitality. If you are in Pakistan and you were invited by someone for dinner or lunch, you will see at least two or three dishes on the table. And the host will force you to eat, and even he or she will refill your plate or glass. And if you show up just unplanned sometime, and it's a time for dinner or lunch, it's most probable that you will not be allowed to leave without eating. So my suggestion to you is, if you are invited by someone who is from India or Pakistan or some Asian or Eastern region, fasting a day before you go to eat will be helpful. And recently I was invited for the dinner by one of my white American colleagues, and when I went, I brought ice cream with me, and it was a nice dinner, a delicious dinner, and a great hospitality. After the dinner, we shared that ice cream that I had brought with me, and we had some chat for some time, and when I asked for permission to leave, my host went to the refrigerator, brought out the ice cream, what I had brought with me, and tried to give it back to me to take back with me. That was a shock for me. What? And I said, no, it was for you. It was for your family. And I didn't say it aloud, but somewhere in my inside, I said, really? By no means I want to be critical about American hospitality culture, but something cultural difference or expectations I wanted to share with you. Receiving hospitality and giving hospitality is important, but Simon withheld the customary hospitality. And in contrast to this, we see an example of radical hospitality in woman's actions. She knew who was present there, the one who had loved her so much that he associated with her, despite her sinful life she has lived in the past. She did not kiss his feet. She did not kiss his cheek, but his feet. And she did not wash his feet with water, but with her tears. And she did not wash his feet with some expensive perfume. She did not oint his head with some ordinary oil or ointment, but with his feet with a very expensive perfume. You see the difference how these two characters treated Jesus? The next contrast I want to offer you is judgment versus repentance. Simon, through his own measure of righteousness, judges both the woman as well as Jesus. He thinks that the woman, because of her sins, is not worthy of greeting Jesus. He is appalled that the woman is actually touching Jesus, something that woman simply did not do any man but their husband. And he makes two wrong judgments about Jesus. First, he thinks he's not a prophet. And second, he thinks if he was a godly man, he would know what kind of woman she is who is touching him. The woman, on the other hand, does not even care about what's going on around her, what people are thinking and saying about what she's doing. You see her tears? It amazes me when I think about the amount of her tears she shed, that she was able to wash Jesus' feet. I see her tears of repentance and joy. Repentance of what she has done in the past, and joy of her restoration and redemption. The third contrast is pride versus humility. From the beginning of the story, we see the pride of Simon. He does not consider Jesus worthy of his hospitality. We see his pride maybe because of his position in the society, maybe because of his higher level of education, maybe because of his wealth, or maybe because of his spiritual superiority over those who were sinners, in his opinion. And the pride dictates him that he's not a sinner and he does not need forgiveness. And therefore, he loses the opportunity of knowing Jesus and being saved. His pride might have made him conscious about the presence of his fellow Pharisees who were present there. But what would they think about him if he expressed his need for forgiveness in public? On the other hand, is an extreme level of humility. If you observe the setting of the scene, woman washing Jesus' feet, you will observe that she does not even face Jesus. She realizes that she is not worthy of looking Jesus in his eyes. She comes from behind and she sits in his feet and starts weeping and weeping and weeping. And you know, that extreme act of humility, she forgets the norms of the society. She opens her hair and dries Jesus' feet, and opening hair in that culture, in public for woman, was extremely offensive. But who cares? She is fully in that, with all her mind, with all her heart, with all her soul, and with all her strength. The next contrast is rejection versus acceptance. At the end of the story, Jesus shows Simon a mirror and tells him that he knew what he was thinking. Being inhospitable was a rejection of Jesus. And the purpose of inviting Jesus to the dinner seems a trap more than a cordial and sincere invitation. Another reason of rejection may be that he saw Jesus associating with that sinful woman to the extent that he would let her come and touch him. Whatever the reasons of Simon's rejection was, Simon's judgmental nature and his illusionary sense of piety drives him to reject Jesus. And as a result, he ends up in the same old life. He ends up living the old, same old life. The notoriously sinful woman, on the other hand, opens herself to Jesus. She recognizes her sins and she knows that what Jesus has to offer her. And she decides to accept that. She decides to receive that. Jesus believed that this woman has much to teach us. What we observe in the character of that woman is what Jesus would want to see in our characters today, in your characters today. I invite us to take a close look of this list. Stop for a few moments and ask yourself, what is in this list that Jesus would want to see in us? What is in this list that Jesus would want to see in you, but we are missing? Maybe we recognize our sins, but repentance is a challenge for us. Maybe our pride is in the way of humility. Maybe we miss the hospitality. We welcome Jesus in our lives, but we don't give him due respect and honor. Maybe we miss the gratitude. In the beginning, I shared with you the story of Ben, who drew this drawing for me, and I did not know that he was doing it. I did not know Ben, and I did not even expect that. I could have refused to accept this, just as the woman could have rejected Jesus, but she didn't. And God's grace works in us same way. You remember the sentence? The importance of being kind and helpful, even when you are not asked to be. This is what God does. In this process, our part is to humbly accept it like that woman and not to be so prideful to see our need like Simon. God's grace is always at work in all of us, even when we don't ask for it. In the end, I want to draw your attention to two things which are important but can easily be overlooked. And I did not know about, I did not notice that these until recently. And one is in verse 37. She learned that Jesus was there. And the other is in her posture and silent worship. Did you notice that she does not speak even a word in the story? But her posture tells us how humbled she was in God's presence. I understand that we have become more accustomed to pray while sitting or lying in the bed or walking or whatever we are doing, and that's fine. It's nothing wrong with that. But I invite to encourage ourselves to be more intentional and focused when we go in God's presence, in our homes or here in the sanctuary. I have experienced that my prayer posture helps me a lot to be intentional, to be more intentional, and to be focused. When I pray on my knees, I feel more humbled that who I am. And it helps me focus. And I feel more grateful to God for what He has done in my life. God appreciates the humble and acts of humility. Today is Communion Sunday. And we will receive communion momentarily. I invite us to open ourselves to God's grace and let it work in us. No one of us would want to be either one of these two characters, woman and Pharisee. But that's not my point. The message I want us to take with us today is not to focus on the lives they lived, but on decisions they made. God's grace was available to both of them, but one chooses to receive that and the other chooses to reject that. In the end, the choice is ours. I invite you, when you come forward for the communion, forget about who is watching you. Forget about who is seeing you. Leave that and come forward and humble yourself as that woman did, because she knew she had learned that God was present there. And we know that God is present here. So when you come to receive the communion, I encourage you to come to the communion railing and humble yourself in God's presence, because we are receiving God's grace. And let it work in us. Amen.